You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on September 16th, 2018, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah," and he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You ever seen yourself on video? It can be really disconcerting and also can be pretty instructive. When I was in law school about 100 years ago, I took a class called Trial Advocacy. As the name suggests, the class was about teaching aspiring young trial lawyers how to try a case. At the end of the semester, each student prepared a case for trial and then tried it before a real judge. And it was all videotaped. I remember delivering an impassioned and well-reasoned closing argument, thinking I'd done a pretty good job. Then came the video. "Who is this guy?" I asked myself. "And whose voice am I hearing?" I honestly didn't recognize the person I was watching and who was speaking the words I distinctly recall having written. It was surprising and a very sobering experience. I had no idea that the person I saw and heard on that video was the same person everyone else saw every time they encountered me. The face I saw every morning in the mirror when I brushed my teeth and shaved, and the voice I heard in my ear every time I spoke, was so different from what I saw on that tape. It was an eye-opening lesson that what we see and think about ourselves is not necessarily what others see and think of us. As my instructor, a very seasoned trial lawyer, sat with me and critiqued my performance, pointing out the few things I'd done right and the many more areas where there was, shall we say, room for growth, I recall at first being a little resistant to what I was hearing, but then, due in no small part to the very kind way in which my instructor was delivering his very honest critique, I at last came to appreciate how important it was to get an objective view of me, to see myself as others see me. So what does my recollection of receiving constructive feedback have to do with this morning's gospel reading? Well, let's see if I can connect the dots. We drop in on Jesus and his friends this morning in the very middle of Mark's gospel. Up until now, there have been two intersecting threads to the story. We've seen Jesus' gifts as a healer and a teacher. And on the other hand, we've seen the building tension between Jesus and the religious authorities. And after this passage, which occurs right in the middle of Mark's gospel is 16 chapters long. This is in the 8th chapter. Mark's going to describe over these remaining 8 chapters, Jesus and the disciples' increasingly fast-paced journey towards Jerusalem and the inevitability of the cross. So in this hinge passage, and that's really what this story amounts to, it's a hinge passage in the middle of the gospel, we see Jesus taking time out to assess where he is, and just as importantly, to assess where his followers are. Who do people say that I am? He asks them. John the Baptist, Elijah the prophets, that's the answer that comes back. And then Jesus turns to his friends, and specifically to his close friend Peter, the one who really ought to be able to give him the best feedback, and says, "But who do you say that I am?" That's the money question, right? Peter, of course, both gets it right and gets it wrong. He's right that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has come to deliver Israel. But it's also clear that Peter doesn't really know what that means. Peter clearly thinks the Messiah will be a military and political leader like David, the one who Israel has been waiting for 1,000 years. He's shocked when Jesus tells him that he's a different kind of Messiah. See, Peter resists the feedback. He resists the critique. He resists the constructive criticism. He wants Jesus to be who he wants him to be, not what Jesus actually is. And here's the insight that Peter's difficulty should provide for us. You see, who Peter says Jesus is tells us everything about who Peter thinks he is. Peter thinks he's the one who's going to ride the winning horse into Jerusalem to free his people from the Romans. You know, there wouldn't be much heavy lifting involved in that, would there? All that would be required of Peter would be to jump on the Jesus train, to jump on the Jesus bandwagon, and watch the Messiah deal with those nasty Romans in some kind of supernatural way. And isn't that what we all want? For someone else to be our champion? For someone else to do the heavy lifting while we stand on the sidelines and cheer them on. Jesus' shocking and almost brutal rebuke of Peter is, shall we say, the most direct kind of constructive feedback. Jesus points out to Peter how little he knows about the true cost of discipleship. Jesus points out to Peter how little he knows about real commitment. In other words, who Peter believes Jesus to be says everything we want to know about who Peter is. And what about us? When Jesus turns to you and says to you, "But who do you say that I am?" What's your answer? I mean your real answer, not the answer that you're going to give to one of the clergy on your way out the door this morning, not the one you think you're supposed to give. Because you know, your real answer is going to tell you a lot about yourself. Now, just because I happen to be standing up here in this pulpit, please don't think for a minute that I don't hear Jesus ask me this question every day. Lex, be honest with yourself, who do you really say that I am? It's the most important question I will ever be called to answer. Because who I say Jesus is will say everything about who I am. About my commitment to treat everyone I meet with kindness and compassion and respect. Everyone, no exceptions. about my commitment to be God's agent for healing and justice in our broken world, no matter the personal cost. About my commitment to be present and available to others for whom I might be useful, when I might frankly rather be doing something else. That only begins to scratch the surface of what Jesus asks of me and of his disciples, including my dear sisters and brothers, you. I'll share with you one of the privileges of my job here at St. Thomas, and that's that I get to work every day with a remarkable group of volunteers who are here at all hours. Those of you who are committed to our outreach ministries, that wonderful group that sit at the desk every day, our altar guild who work tirelessly to support our beautiful worship here, our choir, our amazing choir, our ushers and lectors and lay ministers and hospitality volunteers. I could just go on and on. If I haven't mentioned your ministry, it's not because I don't think it's valuable. I just don't have the time. There's so many of us here that are doing so much, and I appreciate every one of you. You are all living out your commitment to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Every person who gives time and talent at St. Thomas is saying something about who Jesus is for them. And I'll tell you another group I'm privileged to serve with whose commitment to following Jesus gets lived out every day. And those are my remarkable colleagues on the St. Thomas staff. You know, I get to come here every day and work with some of the most talented, dedicated, and faithful people I've ever known. And I'll tell you this, everyone on our staff, everyone without exception, could get paid a lot more doing work in the secular world. Every one of them without exception. But they choose to be here instead. Why? Well, I think I can speak for everyone on this remarkable staff by saying that they are committed to following Jesus. And they're committed to following Jesus in a place, this place, where Jesus has called us together to witness to the world in his name. I'm more grateful than I can say every day for the commitment to the name of Jesus that our staff and our hundreds of volunteers make day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year. So here's a final thought. Remember my experience of watching myself on videotape and being so surprised at how differently the world saw me from what I imagined? That constructive feedback I got from my mentor that day meant everything to me as I began my career as a trial lawyer. So, what would it be like for you to ask someone you trust, a spouse, a close friend, maybe even a pastor, for some constructive feedback? Ask them if it appears to them that your life reflects what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and you'll have to help define that, what that means, but ask them if your life is really reflecting what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Does your life reflect the commitment to Jesus that you'd like to make? I know you all want to make that, because you wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to make a commitment to following Jesus. That might be some hard questions to ask. But the responses, I promise you, will be very illuminating. Who do you say that I am? Jesus is asking you, and he's asking me right now. What will you say? More importantly, what will your life say? Go home this afternoon and be honest with yourself. Are you committed to following Jesus all the way to Jerusalem and the cross? Or will you be one of the members of the crowd who waves and hollers, "Attaboy, attaboy, go get him." It's the difference between life, real life, abundant life, and living death. You know, that's the great paradox of our faith, and Jesus outlines it very succinctly for Peter. You know, those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who are afraid to be committed, those who don't want any part of what this journey with Jesus means, they'll lose their lives. But those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, he says, they will find abundant life. That's the paradox of faith. And that's the call for us to surrender. Surrendering to Jesus, following Jesus wherever he takes you, man, that's going to be hard. But it will also bring you more freedom, more peace, and more joy than you can possibly imagine. The easy way, on the other hand, the way of the crowd, will leave you as a dead man walking. And that, I suggest to you, my dear friends, is some constructive feedback we can all use. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.